recess.
Human recess. What's wrong with human excess?
Call order, and today we are going to be doing a work session on House Bill 5059. And as the committee members know, we've pretty much done all of the work division by division. And what we're going to do today is go through any of the changes, the recommended changes, since the initial work session, and I suppose if we need any reminders, please, do these come and go? Are these just the changes, or what are they total?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So, John?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. We have provided you with two handouts. One of them is a bullet list of the changes that we are recommending to House Bill 5029 since we held the initial work sessions over the last several months. And we've grouped them according to LFO analysts, so I'll be leading off, but then I'm sure Katie and Peggy and Sheila will also be talking about some of the changes that have occurred since the initial work sessions. The other handout, aside from the bulleted list, is this thing, and it is the entire budget for each of the DHR divisions, and there are four pages of that, kind of a summary level, and then in addition, behind those four pages are agency totals for each of the DHR components. So, I want to start out with Adult and Family Services Division. I understand from you, Madam Chair, that you'd like to run through all of the changes and then go into some discussion.
Yes.
Correct? Mm-hmm. Okay.
If there are questions at the time, I don't have any problem with the questions. So we can have a discussion while you're going through them, but I thought what we'd do in the interest of time is just go through them and just have a motion for a second if the committee is going to do that.
Okay. Madam Chair, the only modification to the Adult and Family Services Division budget since our initial work session is to include the Department of Human Resources prorate reduction. In this case, for Adult and Family Services, it's $1.5 million general fund and another $500,000 of federal funds. I think you'll notice that most of these divisions have a similar DHR prorate reduction. This was done, most of these divisional budgets were worked prior to the time that you worked the director's office, and at the time we did these, we didn't know what the director's office reduction would be. So after the director's office budget was worked, then we could find out what the assessment to each of the divisions was, and they are reflected here on this bullet list, but that's the only one for Adult and Family Services Division.
Okay.
The Senior and Disabled Services Division, you'll see that the first bullet again is the DHR prorate reduction, in this case $500,000 of general fund, $500,000 of federal fund. The second bullet adds back the employment initiative. You'll recall that in the governor's recommended budget, he had included $2.1 million of general funds and actually about $2 million of federal funds, 17 positions, 13.22 FTE. Since his initial budget, it was the effort to modify that somewhat by taking $670,000 of that $2.1 million employment initiative, transferring it to the Vocational Rehabilitation Division, where it would be matched with Rehab Act Section 110 funds, the 4-to-1 match. And you'll see that we've added back the employment initiative. The 1.1 $4 million of federal funds are Medicaid funds. The $670,000 you'll see in the next bullet point is transferred to the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. They will match that with approximately $2.5 million of federal funds. Then it's the intent of the Vocational Rehabilitation Division to spend a portion of that, in this case about $1.3 million, for SDSD caseload services. So the overall expenditure limitation change for SDSD is an add of $2.1 million general fund, $1.4 million federal funds, then a reduction of $670,000 of general fund, which will go to Voc Rehab, and an increase of $1.3 million other funds, which will be coming back from Voc Rehab. So it's somewhat of a complicated situation, but that's about as clear as I can make it at this point. The short story is that we're adding back the employment initiative.
We all wanted to do that.
We did. Yes, we did.
The next bullet under the Senior and Disabled Services Division is the Long-Term Care Ombudsman Technical Adjustment. You may recall that when we worked on the Long-Term Care Ombudsman budget, we made some changes there. What they do is they send general funds from their budget to the Senior and Disabled Services Division. The Senior and Disabled Services Division in turn matches that with federal funds and returns the whole lot back to the Long-Term Care Ombudsman. So this technical adjustment takes care of the change that we made in the Long-Term Care Ombudsman budget. The next bullet says Senate Bill 307 Revenue Hole. We did do partial work on Senate Bill 307 Revenue Hole in the initial work session. We reduced the other funds limitation by about $723,000, increased the general fund limitation by a like amount, but I neglected to include this other adjustment that went along with Senate Bill 307.
Madam Chair, I apologize. I can't remember what
307 is. I'm sorry, Representative Roth. 307 was a bill that would have increased licensing fees for nursing facilities and assisted living.
Thanks, I got it. And it did not pass out of
the Substantive Committee.
Thanks.
So this additional adjustment reduces other funds by $124,768 and federal funds by $191,000. This piece would have been used to actually pay nursing facilities and assisted living facilities in terms of their Medicaid program for the fee that they would have had to pay the state. So I simply didn't include it in the initial work session. It needs to be included here. If you thought the employment initiative explanation was convoluted, this will be a good one for you. The next one is the Medicare upper limit plan payment. I want to go over this carefully with you. The first line says that the actual payment will be $40 million of general funds and $59.5 million of federal funds. As we talked earlier, we knew that it was about this amount, but we weren't sure how the mechanism was actually going to work. We now know how it will work. The general fund sources will be approximately $23.2 million transferred from the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Division, along with $16.8 million of general fund from the General Assistance and Oregon Supplemental Income Programs within the SDSD budget. Both of those sources of general funds will be replaced with other funds once the return payment from the health district nursing homes is made back to the state. Overall, the FCSC expenditure limitation changes since we started this process for the Medicare upper limit plan will be $23.2 million of general fund that they're receiving from the mental health division and $16.8 million of other funds to replace the general fund that we're going to be spending on the initial payment. Let me pause right there.
Yeah, just in case there are any questions that you don't want to ask them.
Yeah.
No.
We understand.
It is very clear. Okay.
The point is that this will, along with $29 million of similar mechanisms, I say similar because it's not, it was not quite like this. We produce about $89 million of general fund that used to be federal fund. Now, again, as I mentioned some weeks ago, there is a possibility that this mechanism would be discontinued by the federal government. Always a risk.
If I was over there, it would be discontinued.
The last we will have a budget note to offer, an amendment to offer later in the meeting that will mitigate that risk.
The last bullet point for the Senior and Disabled Services Division, the FTE reduction, when we were looking at efficiency reductions, I think I mentioned 9.34 FTE. The actual reduction should be less than that, more like 5.85 FTE. But I wanted to clear that up for the record. Madam Chair or other members, do you have questions on the FDSC changes?
I just wanted to comment. Madam Chair, I just wanted to comment that I continue to be concerned about OPI and AAA that are not included in the thing.
Madam Chair, both of those are important as well, and I know that the AAA equity issue has been around for a while, and if there were a possibility of some funds clearing, I'd certainly be interested in having that listed as an add back. Good. Recognize that need.
Yeah. I that these two things weren't in the governor's budget, and so that makes it all that much tougher. But I think we may have a budget note later as well that will deal with at least the AAA issue. So hopefully we can be moving in a direction that will help to solve the issue.
Right, because I think if this were to bounce back upon the state to take over those duties, it would cost us more in the long run.
That is true. Of course, I've expressed myself a great deal in the AAAs, but I have a little bit of new information, and that is that two of the five Type B contract AAAs have actually gone to six-month contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's unprecedented. That means that those programs could come back to the state like in November. And when they do, of course, what I've been talking about all along is going to start to become a reality, and that is that there will be no savings because you can take Lackamas County, for instance, 83 cents on the dollar, but when they come back to the state, it's going to be dollar for dollar. And we've already studied it. Studying it more won't help. You know, it's just a matter of what's going to happen.
The next division is the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. Again, you see the DHR prorate reduction of $58,792 general fund, a matched portion of federal funds, $287,764. The next bullet acknowledges the receipt of a transfer of $670,000 of general fund with respect to the employment initiative that I spoke of a moment ago from FDFC. It will be matched with $2.5 million of federal funds, and the Vocational Rehabilitation Division would add 9 positions and 9 FTEs. And I'd add, with respect to that latter comment about the positions and FTE, that the governor's budget removed 9 positions and 9 FTE because of a discontinuation of funding from the Department of Consumer and Business Services. There were funds that were coming over from the Workers' Comp Benefit Fund and used to match. That practice is discontinued in the governor's budget at the recommendation of the Management Labor Advisory Committee. The next bullet would add $148,965 of Youth Transition Program other funds. This is money that's coming from school districts. It would match it with $550,000 of federal funds, again, the Rehab Act Section 110 money, and add back 2.76 FTE that the subcommittee removed when we worked the initial budget. We have an initial work session. It was an efficiency measure. Finally, with respect to the Vocational Rehabilitation Division, we're going to be adding, or we would recommend that you add $1.1 million of other funds to accommodate Senate Bill 288. Now, Senate Bill 288, let me back up. A moment ago, I mentioned that the Management Labor Advisory Committee to the Department of Consumer and Business Services recommended that funding for the Vocational Rehabilitation Division be discontinued, and that has been done. Another recommendation that committee made was to discontinue the practice of providing premium rebates for rehabilitation facilities. In other words, there was a source of money, the Workers' Comp Benefit Fund, that was providing money to rehab facilities to reduce their workers' compensation insurance premium. Senate Bill 288 restored some of that funding, and prior to this biennium, the money came directly from the Department of Consumer and Business Services to the rehab facilities. In this case, Senate Bill 288 would direct the money through the Department of Human Resources. One of the places it comes through is the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. The other one, I think you'll see, yes, in a moment you'll see that there was more money from Senate Bill 288 going through the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Division. So this is simply a pass-through from DCBS to the rehab facilities, but it goes through VRD and Mental Health Division.
And just to clarify, this is something that will happen only for this biennium. It's not a permanent, this is a transitional action.
Madam Chair and Representative Ross, that is correct.
Thank you.
It's 4 years.
Madam Chair, I believe that this amount only covers this current biennium. The total amount in Senate Bill 288 is for 4 years.
Okay.
The latter 2 years amount, however, is subject to a plan that is to be developed jointly between LFO and DAS and the Department of Human Resources and the rehab facilities to see how we can take care of the future workers.
Are there other questions about the rehab division?
Madam Chair, sorry. John, this very last bullet, does that have anything to do with refunding the mentally, developmentally disabled workers' comp premium?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, yes, it does. Because I think a number of persons with developmental disabilities work in these rehab facilities that I mentioned a moment ago. And, in fact, you'll see in a moment that
that there is money from Senate Bill 288 coming to the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Division. It comes through in two places.
Oh, another question. So instead of a refund, this is to reduce the premium. Instead of charging them the regular premium, give them a refund. Is it just to lower the premium?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, it's my understanding that 288 continues to reduce what they would pay. I mean, it makes the payment to rehab facilities on the basis of their workers' comp insurance premiums.
So what is the change?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, Senate Bill 288 is sort of I would characterize it as a compromise to say we're going to provide funding from the workers' benefit fund for another at least 2 years. That's what Senate Bill 288 does. It also provides a little bit more that, as I said, needs to be worked out through a plan between DAS and DHR and the rehab facilities as well as the LFO. So the overall lump sum, I have that. Give me a moment and I'll look. I believe it's about $4.5 million this biennium for 99-01, but it's an additional $4.4 beyond that that has to be the subject of the plan. And by the way, if no plan is developed, it's my understanding that the current practice would continue, but then would be finished once all the money, the $8.9 million, has been extended.
Mm-hmm. So this is continued the current program with the plan being formed in transition?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, that's my understanding.
Senator Yee, the way it was explained to me was that they found that very few of these statistics for programs had actually suffered a workplace injury. And so they were development delayed or had some kind of mental difficulty, but they were not as a result of workplace injuries. And that's why the workers' comp folks wanted to phase this out. But because the system had been built around this accommodation, this kind of a plan, that's why they worked out this transition phase look and work out a different way to handle it. And that's my understanding of what was behind this.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'll continue for a while at the risk of being wrong. state offices for services to children and families, again, the only adjustment that Sheila is recommending would be the DHR prorate reduction. You can see the figures on the bullet sheet. Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division, the first bullet again is the DHR prorate reduction, $937,547 general fund reduction and $197,308 federal fund. The second bullet relates again to the Medicare upper limit plan fund shift. You remember that I mentioned that the mental health division would be transferring $23.2 million to a general fund to SDSC, and they would add $23.2 million of other funds to make sure that the programs that general fund supported would continue at the same level. The next bullet I'm going to skip because I don't know anything about it. We can come back to that in a moment. This is Senate Bill 288. I believe that the reason we have a cut of $1.1 million other funds, and that frankly doesn't make sense to me, and I'll let Sheila talk about that. But the $1 of federal funds is because I think we're having a placeholder for some federal fund match. But again, I would prefer that Sheila talk to you more about that at the moment.
Madam Chair, I wonder if
you could explain the DHR prorate reduction. How do you mean prorate reduction? What's prorate?
To support the operations of the director's office, each division has to make a contribution.
Oh, that's fair.
Both general fund, in some cases other funds, and in some cases federal funds.
All right.
So once we worked the director's office budget, we were able to make a reduction there, and this is how it gets spread out to all the divisions. So that's what we're
doing. So that's the director's budget. Is that like their administrative expenses? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, look to Katie Cannon, my colleague at LFO.
Yes, and Kirk, you said, Representative Wilkin, this entails like the administrative, the accounting, the information services area. You take all of those expenses and then determine how much each division needs to contribute to pay for those administrative. 2 years ago, they had centralized these functions, and they're still kind of refining that now, but that's really where this came from.
Thank you, because I thought the general fund reduction seemed quite a bit, but thank you for the explanation.
Okay. Katie, why don't you come up then and cover the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. Thank you, John. And the director's office.
Before we leave the mental health,
go ahead and ask for that. Sheila is going to come back, and we'll have to come back to the committee.
Madam Chair, on the mental health section, the one thing that I was concerned about was the fact that we had been unable to fund the training for abuse investigators, that training of $200,000 within one of the policy packages that we did not prove at the time the budget went through. I wonder what concerns for that.
Madam Chair, with the Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse. If you recall, originally in Package 410, there was $20 million in the governor's recommended budget. Two of that was originally was other funds, and it was then moved to federal funds. There was a balance of $18 million general fund. What happened? You did approve the $2 million TANF federal funds. There was another $2 million that was from ASS, and it was general fund, but it was to be targeted towards TANF-eligible clients. And so those are the only two things that we had approved in the last work session. The leadership budget adds another $6 million on top of that, and that's what this particular figure is here. And that program, if you recall, is Target High-Risk Youth and Families. We recommend that we maintain the 6.0 FTE that was in the original package, because those particular positions support this whole, high-risk youth and families, that whole program. They need these six positions to make it operate, whether they have $10 million or if they have $20 million. This is the real structure that makes this work. The second item is the DHR prorate reduction of $24,688 general fund and $23,672 federal fund.
Okay, I would just ask for the alcohol and drugs, we have $2 million from AFS general fund, and then that and $2 million NAP federal funds for the TANF eligible.
Well, it's not matched, but in this particular budget, so there's $2 million TANF fund.
Okay.
And then there's the additional six for a total of $10 million.
So we've been able to add it. Fair enough there.
Moving on to the director's office, there was a slight reduction in package 102 of $1,902. That was the desktop. That was the desktop package. And then there is added in there the Klamath Adolescent Center for $267,000. And this is general fund. And that is a center for at-risk youth or young women down in the Klamath areas. I think they serve 10 clients at a time, and they do have a waiting list down there. The third item is to move the Medicaid Management Information System from OMAP to the Director's Office. This is $795,271 general fund, $3,238,024 federal fund. This adds 12 positions and 12 FTE.
Madam Chair, sorry. What is MMIS?
It's a Medicaid Management Information System.
Is this computers?
Yes.
And the federal government is, we're looking at a whole new system. The federal government pays up to 90% of the funds for a new system. This is the planning, part of the planning phase. And we did hear pretty extensive testimony from John Cuddy about the information system, EHR.
And another question. So the Klamath Adolescent Center, is that alcohol and drugs adolescent?
My understanding this particular program is for at-risk, young females that have not been adjudicated. They have committed minor crimes, and that it is a rehabilitation program.
But non-adjudicated.
Correct.
Oh, level 7.
Mm-hmm. Level 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is
correct. Well, how did this Klamath Adolescent Center get in the director's office?
Because it's been there for
a
couple of projects.
Yes.
Okay. When we looked at the 4% reductions, there were a couple of reductions offered by the department. The first one was that were not included in the director's office originally, but they were offered. And first of all, it was a better coordination of the attorney general's contacts to control costs. And so what they were requesting was one FTE to help for the coordination, and they felt that they could reduce the general fund by $300,000 by doing this. The second item deals with, they did a comparison over a three-year period of either leasing computers versus purchasing of computers, and felt that this would net a general fund reduction of $816,000 to the department.
Any questions on if not, John has said that he can answer the questions on the MHPD FD that Sheila has. She is in another case.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Or address the two other bullets.
I ran off and asked Sheila what those were all about. The third bullet, which would add $17,500 to general fund, and I believe it adds one position and adds 0.25 FTE, would continue a mental health technician pilot program through December. So it's a continuation of an existing program right now. But I don't think that what we have, I know that net we add 0.25 FTE for the program. Now we may have already added half an FTE, and we need to reduce it, but I'm not positive about it.
If I could speak to this. If this is a mental health technician pilot program through, I think it's Rogue Community College, they have their first graduating class that's going to graduate this August. And we felt that it was important to have the position in mental health and developmental disability services division through December to see how things go with placing those students who are graduating, getting them into jobs. They're graduating in August, it's going to take some time to see if they get placed into jobs to help us evaluate the program. And so that's what this is. This is basically covers covers 6 months worth of cost. Is why it's only $17,500.
And the example that apparently in the initial work session, the portion of the Senate Bill 288 that was to be going to the Vocational Rehabilitation Division was added to the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Services Division. So we're cutting the same amount out of this divisional budget, $1.1 million of other funds that we added to the Vocational Rehabilitation Division for Senate Bill 288.
Okay. Other questions regarding those changes in mental health and developmental disabilities? If not, Peggy, do you want to address the Health Division?
The Health Division issue is simply a correction. It's not a correction on the spreadsheet, right? But when you were taking action on the Health Division, you were working from a memo rather than a spreadsheet, and the amount on the memo was incorrect.
Okay.
So this is not a change in the overall bottom line that anybody would see in the spreadsheet that I did. Since you did vote on a different number, I just wanted to put that in there as part of a technical correction. All of the adjustments that you made, if you approve these today, which would probably be the next point of order, are reflected on the amendments that I passed out that are the hand, sort of the hand and gross version of the bill. And before you consider a vote, I'll just point out that I just changed the numbers where that is appropriate. And those sections where we have health plans, I've attached a couple of sheets at the back that show how the bill would be amended to separate out health plan expenditures from non-health plan expenditures, so that those all appear in the health services cluster. And the health services cluster then is broken out into health plan costs that are listed by division and other health. I think we called it other health services. That breaks those costs out. And then when you see the budget report, it will show those costs separate as well.
Do you have a total on that?
On the health plan?
Yeah.
I do have, but I don't, since it doesn't go in the bill, it'll take me a minute. I'll read that for you in a minute.
Okay. I'll find it. Okay. As I said before, what I would like to do is go ahead then and entertain a motion to accept these. Because we have moved on every other part of this budget, and these are LFO recommended changes to that we've already moved, I would entertain that motion just as a 10 block or what we have just gone through on these two pages.
Madam Chair, before we discuss a motion, I have a question. Do we have a restoration list of things that we could add back in case there's some money available?
Actually, we were keeping a list of restoration items, and as you can see here, that the one of the things that was on that, I think, or that we talked about, was the employment and employee, for instance, and a decision was made to put that back in. I really don't think there's any pool of money to be gathering from, so it might be, I guess there's always, until we actually sign it, there's a responsibility, and we can talk about adding back, but that may be all it ends up being.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because during hearings, we discussed different issues and were hoping there is a restoration list and put it back in case
there's some money available, like Representative Welch mentioned OPI and AAA money to catch up with cost of living. And I have a concern about the DD mental health developmentally disabled population. The providers are not being paid adequately because we are seeing 90% turnover rate with the providers. And I think there's an estimate of something like $1.6 million. If we want to give them a second 25 cents per hour wage increase. So I just thought, is this the time to talk about it, or what's the chair?
Well, I think that it's good to bring it up because, in essence, what we are doing is we ask upon this, and we're accepting what we have added back in as, you know, what this committee wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we talked with the Department of Human Resources to find out what their, you know, priorities were, and the legislative fiscal staff, of course, has looked at their things very closely, and it seems to me that we did have real interest in the Vocational Rehabilitation Division and FDSC with the Employment Initiative, and we have been able to do that. The Medicaid Upper Limit plan, of course, is something that's been in the works, and so we're, you know, using those figures there. And I guess this would be the appropriate time to talk about what it is we would like to have if there is any money available. I hear OPI, the AAA issue, and the
provider
pay.
Uh-huh.
The OPI, I'm not, what is the figure on that?
Well, they had asked for 4.9 million to begin with.
He has the list. Okay. I do have the ADMAC list. The number is so high that I was hesitating to pass it out. But this was certified.
But this is our minder. Yeah. These are the things that you mentioned.
Yeah, I know during the interim one, the Senate Budget Committee was meeting, we thought we had $300 million additional that we would be dealing with, and Senator Bryant got requests for $3 billion. So this is kind of like that, in a sense.
Madam Chair,
Representative Levin.
I have a question, one question on these recommended changes dealing with the Director's Office, or maybe a comment. The last bullet, agency lease of computers rather than purchasing computers, reduces general fund by $816,000. Is this something that is new, a new whole process? It seems like if we are, this will cost effective to these computers. That we ought to do more of it. Or what is the $816,000? Why? How can we explain that?
Chair, Representative Logan and the rest of the committee, we started taking a look at this a long time ago. I'm not going to say how long, but just recently DAS, IOMD, which is their sort of statewide information services office, has entered into an agreement with a rather large company, I believe it's Dell, for a statewide leasing program that does provide significant savings both for state agencies, if the conditions are right and assumptions are right for each state agency, to lease computers instead of purchase them. And these savings are roughly based on that, making assumptions on how many machines to be may have had to purchase next biennium.
Mm-hmm.
It is a rough estimate.
Additional questions. Could this same program be applied to these other divisions? Computers are in all of them.
Madam Chair, Representative Loken, actually this is for the entire department. We will be back at a future board to spread these savings, or whatever you want to call them, across the rest of the department.
Mm-hmm.
And so, actually, there will be very few of those savings in the director's office. Most of them will be out in one of the operating divisions.
additional questions. Might we anticipate then some additional savings coming in this regard to the biennium?
Madam Chair, Representative Logan, I doubt very much for DHR because this is a pretty aggressive estimate. Mainly because we've actually been buying new computers the past couple of years, partly for the Y2K issue and partly to upgrade because of system changes.
Mm-hmm.
In future biennium, I would say, you'll see ongoing savings.
And does that include maintenance?
Madam Chair, Representative Logan, there is some maintenance built into the contract with the computer, or the computer company, is my understanding. I haven't read the contract myself personally. It is a good deal as we've taken a look at it.
I think we ought to continue.
Madam Chair. There's one thing that I think about the other chair that put on that I think I requested the others in hand back. Look at potential, and that was the term increase issue. SDS.
Okay.
Pardon.
We can take note of that for now. How much was it? How much was it? 2.7 million?
Madam Chair.
Representative Robert.
There's another issue, and I'm not sure this is the very best place, but it was House Bill 3147, which came out of Human Resources, in which we had testimony in front of this committee as well about the medically fragile children issue and the original request that is in for a waiver for those folks who are above the poverty line. I've since learned that there is a line item in the MHPDSD budget, or in their department for medically fragile children, but has been seriously underfunded and is only really enough to help two families out of the state. And this is an area that I'm very interested in would like to either see a way that we can put general fund or some other dollars into that or shift some dollars into that line from some other line within that particular budget, because I really do believe that those are some of our most fragile citizens and certainly need to be taken care of. The bill number was 3147. That set up a new assessment, and I don't think we want to pursue that particular line of thinking at this late date, but and also I introduced that when I was not aware that there was already a line for medically fragile children in that particular budget, and I would just like to see that strengthened.
Yeah, okay.
Madam Chair, that's in the MHPDSD budget.
Madam Chair, we'll add those. Okay. The Chair would move then the LFO recommendations on the memo that dated July 9th, 1999, and we've gone through the two-page memo with all the figures for Adult and Family Services Division, Senior and Disabled Services Division, Vocational Rehabilitation Division, State Office of Services to Children and Families, Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division, the Health Division, Office of Alcohol and Drug Abuse Programs, the Director's Office, which is the wide support service. Is there a discussion?
Madam Chair,
Representative Brown.
We did the health plan separately. It's not.
The health.
You did it yesterday. That's what I was saying. That is not part of this motion.
Not, no, because we moved on it yesterday.
We did that yesterday.
And these are the changes to all of the other budgets that we did previously in the last 6 months.
Madam Chair, I appreciate the work that's come in. I don't object to any of these items. I will be a no vote because of the lack of funding for the OPI and the AAA.
Okay.
Senator Shields? Madam Chair, I'd like to indicate that in the I put things in context, and I have been a yes vote on DHR budgets in previous biennia. This is my fourth time through this budget, and have really been proud of some of them, but I'm also going to be a no vote for the reasons that Representative Ross has already listed, the AAAs especially, but also because of some of the cuts that we're looking at here today, school-based clinics, the alcohol and drug that the governor had much higher starting, and we've essentially got about half of that. Also, the spousal pay issue that was talked about a long time back, and we haven't talked about it lately, plus some of the stuff that we just heard about, Medicaid fragile and so on. So I'll be also a no vote.
This motion is actually on these changes.
Yeah.
I just want to make that. Any other objections?
Well, Madam Chair, I have a lot of concern about some of the funding that I'm not adequate about voting yet.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Let the record note that Senator Shields and Representative Ross voted no on the amendment that just happened to pass.
Madam Chair, just to briefly summarize, since that deals with the numbers to date, you have a handout like this that is kind of complicated to read because it is in the order that the bill originally was. But what it does, you may want to look at it later, and it is a reference for you.
Mm-hmm.
It shows each division and the amount of current estimated expenditures for, not to say the current because the current biennium is the new biennium, but for the 97-99 biennium, the governor's recommended amount, the amount that was adjusted, and the amount that is approved by the numbers that you have approved today and in previous bienniums. It shows the percentage difference for each division by compared to the last biennium's estimated expenditures and compared to the governor's recommended. Well, obviously, we won't go down through each of the divisions, but if you'll turn to the page 4 in that handout, and you can see that as worked, this budget, the Department of Human Resources budget, increases in general fund 16.9% over the prior biennium, 2.5% less than the governor's recommended. And then there are other adjustments for tobacco tax, increases 6.1%. Other funds and federal funds have increases of 10 and almost 11% respectively. And then the total budget over on the right is an 11.9% increase above 97-99 expenditures, 2.4% above the governor's recommended. The staffing level is reduced by 53 positions, 47.93 FTE, and there are modest percentage reductions in staffing to make for that. So that is where you would look for a summary on this sheet for a reference when you want to know what the bottom line numbers are. We passed out, in the meantime, a proposed amendment that's called LC 9029, and has draft stamped on it. I think in the meantime, council has delivered, while we're meeting, the final version of this, and I think it looks the same, but I was going to explain to you the purpose of this amendment. It was our concern because of the Medicare upper limits, the tenuousness of that arrangement that brings in the extra $89 million. The easiest way to do that would be simply that you pay out money and that money comes back to the state and goes into the department and becomes an other funds expense. But that also makes it very vulnerable if the decision is made, as we believe it probably will be in the not too distant future, that this money won't be ongoing, that this is probably a one or two time shot at best. And so this, what we asked council to do was to draft a recommendation, an amendment to the bill that makes very clear that the money that comes back to the state goes to the general fund, and then it is reappropriated as a general fund expense, and that's the way the numbers have appeared in the budget as we presented them. And the purpose of that is that if that $89 million goes away, those programs such as Mental Health Services, Oregon Project Independence, and all those that would have given up the money to get this money would be in jeopardy because they would be other fund-funded agencies, and we wanted them to remain general fund-funded agencies. So what this does is say that if $89 million goes away, it becomes an overall general fund problem, not a DHR problem. And that's the purpose of this amendment. And that sort of mitigates somewhat the risk of that, because you're looking at the overall general fund as losing the $89 million and not one department and one agency. So we would propose, LFO proposes these amendments and recommends, obviously, their approval. Okay.
Madam Chair,
I'm wondering, should we act on this draft and this number?
Since we're a subcommittee, we don't have to have final amendments. We will bring final amendments to the full.
All right. So, yes.
I would, Madam Chair, I would move the conclusion of the LC 9029 draft amendments past Bill 5029.
The dash 99 is what's shown on this sheet.
Yes.
Well, Senator Fisher moved House Bill 5029-99 amendment dealing with the Medicaid upper limit. Money.
Yeah, proportionate share incentive adjustment state plan. I got a copy of a contract, so I would know what to call it.
How does that acronym sound?
This is what we're talking about.
Anyway, thank you. Okay. Is there a discussion? Objection?
Madam Chair, what were we just in?
This is another amendment.
Oh, another one. Another
one. Okay. So, hearing and seeing none, the dash 99 amendment should pass.
Madam Chair, I've handed out another amendment that has been proposed by the Chair to the committee that corresponds to the adjustment that was made in the health plan budget yesterday to eliminate non-Medicaid reimbursed services in the health plan. And this is what this amendment does.
And if there's any other questions on it, I'd be happy to explain it. Basically, it does, it is written almost identical to the Hyde Amendment that appears on all congressional budget issues. We've addressed the issue of assisted suicide in line 3 by allowing also, though, for administrative costs incurred in the compliance of the provisions of that act. So, a minute, please.
Chair, I think the money is already taken away from the budget from what we saw yesterday. Do we still need the amendment?
Yes,
I believe we do. In order to implement the adjustment?
I believe we do. Okay.
This line of 7 and following on this amendment, I've actually heard that rather than saving money, this one would end up costing more money.
Well, we don't know that, Senator Shields. What we do know is what it costs us now and what it would cost us, and therefore we are eliminating that amount in the budget.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, I'm just saying, if it costs more money, won't that throw us farther out of balance than we are?
I guess we'll have to wait and see if that actually happens. But what we do know is what it is costing us now, and that portion has been eliminated from the budget.
I move that we adopt the HB 5029-1.
Senator Fisher has moved the amendment 5029-1 be moved into the bill. For discussion.
Objection.
let the record show Senator Shields, Senator Yee, and Representative Ross. The motion passes. Madam Chair, the next thing that we have on our agenda, we would need about a 10 to 15 minute recess in order to take care of making sure we were unable today with all the busy schedules to corral the co-chairs to have them read through the budget notes and approve them. And since we go by the rules, if we could have a few minutes to do that, we feel that we could be back by around 5:15 or so, and we could then conclude this, and you wouldn't have to deal with that.
You're okay. Okay. But then
you don't have to come back tomorrow.
No, you wouldn't have to come back tomorrow. You wouldn't have to revisit it.
Good job. Madam Chair, before we recess, I apologize that I stepped out of the room, and I wanted to be sure that I had been your target as a no on the earlier motion. I had said it before I was out of the room, but I wanted to.
Yes,
you wanted to. Okay. I didn't want to be sure that I
had. You know all the room.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to make it clear that I wasn't stepping out of the room in order not to have to vote on it.
All right. We will be in recess then for 15 minutes and come back at 5. Our Strength, Ways and Means Subcommittee on Human Resources, and now we are ready to look at the budget notes that have been approved by the co-chairs and deal with several divisions. Amy, do you want to
Madam Chair, members, you should have a copy of the budget notes that the co-chairs approved having in the budget. I'll start with the health division, and then each of the other analysts that have the divisions are sitting over on the side, and they can address the budget notes that relate to their the divisions that they analyze. The health division budget notes are fairly familiar to you because these are issues that were discussed, and they were the fact that they would be budget notes was discussed during the health division hearing. The first one simply addresses the issue of placing the $131,000 for teen pregnancy prevention advertising in the emergency fund, and then the health division will come back to the emergency fund and get that money, and that's just a budget note that accompanies that action which was taken in the approval of the budget. The second is the same, that's $151,000 for the alternative abstinence education, an alternative to the STARS, and that's a budget note that defines some of the parameters around that they will come, how the health division will come back with a menu of alternative programs that meet Title V funding and expenditure criteria, and that they will come to the emergency board, and that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the federal funds associated with those dollars until the emergency board appearance. And then the last budget note is one that we discussed during the hearings that had to do with directing the health division to include in the first interim budget rebalance plan a report on the status of the long-term vacant positions in the agency, and those are positions of 7 or more months. And that how they are going to incorporate into their rebalance plan the abolishment of a minimum of 4 positions in addition to the 8 that were all abolished during the meeting. And the next, we can vote on these in mass, or you can vote on that as we go through.
Madam Chair, I was just wanting to know what the procedure is here. This is the first time some of us have seen the budget notes, and are we going to discuss them and vote on them, like one at a time, or do we do all the health division and then do we do all the mental health and then all the SDSC? How do you want to proceed?
And we'll make that decision. I do want to say, though, that most of these were matters of discussion during our
I know that they were
hearings. And I can say to you, I saw these at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
So we're really in the same boat.
Okay.
We're going to work through these. I think probably it would be appropriate maybe to do division by division, but.
Yeah. Okay.
So we can be a crossing point then, the health division budget notes. We can discuss those.
I know there's been a lot of discussion around the second budget note about providing additional alternatives to the STARS program.
when we discussed this item, I was I misunderstood the intent of the chair because I thought the intent was to continue half the SCARS program and have the other half put out for bid, but that local communities could continue to choose the SCARS program or an alternate aspect of it. I was in error about that, and it is my understanding that half the funds, the 151, will be available for alternate absence programs now, but that in response to this, that AFS has worked with you, and that the plan at this time, as I understand, and I want to clarify this, is that the $151,000 plus the federal match will be used for alternate absence programs, and will be marketed, and they will be sold out for RFP, and local schools or other organizations will be able to adopt those programs. But in the meantime, Adult Family Services will use part of their team funds to continue the existing SCARS program so that we don't have to stop those ongoing SCARS programs that are in place at this time. Am I correct in that understanding?
Madam Chair, I think John Britton has come.
I think, Madam Chair and Representative Ross, for the most part, your understanding coincides with mine with one exception, and that is there are not actual funds coming from AFS.
Right.
There are some in-kind staff support provided to school districts, I presume.
Well, and so maybe the department could clarify whether they expect that to be successful or not.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm Jerry Weeks, Director of the Department of Human Rights. Representative Rock, you've come pretty close to describing what we have talked with for QTEP about, and we have said that we would, to the extent possible, try to use the resources in the AFS meeting staff, not dollars, and use those staff to try to maximize the number of cars. Schools that we could take care of. We have not said, and I don't think we should say at this point, that every school that has SCARS today will be able to reinstate those all next year with the dollars we have. We'll try to, as fully as possible, meet the demands for SCARS, but I don't think I can promise you that every one of these will be able to cover. It just depends on how many requests the continuation of SCARS representatives and to which we can use AFS staff to support what has been set aside for SCARS by the committee.
Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that clarification.
Further discussion? The chair would move the budget notes and the health station budget. Discussion? Objection?
Again, no.
No, that's Representative Ross.
I think I was going there.
I shouldn't look over there. And looking over there sort of made you, you know, Ross with a Ross and Shield couplet again.
Talk about mental health. There are two, well, actually one revision and one new budget note suggested for the mental health division. The first is an existing budget note where some added language is proposed to include in the every 6 months report to the e-board on the developmental disability services long-range plan, a review of the self-directed services, which are the monies that have gone out to at the local level for individualized services, to talk about where they are in rural development and then what's happening with those services. So it's just an additional element to the report that's required in connection with the closing of Fairview. And then the second proposed budget note is to address the action that the division is taking in terms of addressing use of temporary employees at the Eastern Oregon Training Center. There were 11 additional positions that are added to the 9901 budget and that are carrying forward to help resolve this problem this budget note just requires that the agency come back and report on what's happening with those positions if the problems are indeed being resolved.
I asked for the an edit language about review of self-directed services, the rules they develop, and how they help people in improving their employability, productivity, and independence. I believe that this will improve the accountability of the program, and I think that we need to hear how the program is being carried out.
Okay. Thank you,
Senator. I mentioned that I was instrumental in adding a second note there as a result of some discussions that I had with Representative Jensen. And he's close to the center there, and so that you're able to get this budget note, and I think this is a good move.
Right. I agree. They're both very good budget notes. Okay. The chair would move then the two budget notes to the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division. A clear discussion? Is there objection? Hearing and seeing when the motion passes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the single SCFT proposed budget note deals with the equity issue for the AAAs. It recommends that the Joint Legislative Audit Committee review the issues related to the funding of the state's Area Agency on Aging. And as members of the committee know and heard just this afternoon, that's an issue that needs some form of resolution. The governor's budget did not include funding for the AAAs, nor does the legislative budget at this point in time. So this is a study and a review of the issues surrounding the AAA staffing and administrative costs, levels of local government support. I might add that the JLAC would have the option of actually implementing the review or not. So this is a suggestion from the subcommittee to the JLAC to undertake this review.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I appreciate the fact that we're considering a review of this because I think it'll confirm a lot of what we've been talking about. And so it seems to be basically a good budget note. About 3 weeks ago, all of the senators from Clackamas and Multnomah counties actually did a letter on this subject, and it was signed, including Senators Duncan and Miller and Lim, and talked about this same stuff. I'd like to ask, and I don't know if Representative Loken would be interested in this, but I'd like to ask that maybe this particular budget note really be implemented right away out of the door. I mean, as soon as we sign each die, kind of do it first thing, you know, look into the AA staffing issues, the administrative costs, this local government support program performance. But if you did that, then let's do something about it. I mean, if the findings of this review committee are that the inequity that we've been talking about exists, then based on what you find, let's, at the next rebalance, try to take care of the issue. I mean, I think that adding that piece to the budget note makes it make more sense. Then we finally have a resolution to the issue.
Madam Chair, I would like to at least suggest, I think that's a step in the right direction. I think it would be important to not wait till the 2001 legislative session to bring this up again, because that would be beyond the 6 months that these contracts are enacted, and by that time we'd be having to bring them back in if they haven't got the money. So I'd like to suggest that this happen at least before November, Igor, in
either, I don't know how quickly they would do this audit, but it could either be before November 99, if that's when they have an e-board, and maybe you would know when an e-board would
be,
or this year, or 2000.
Madam Chair and Representative Wilson, and John can clarify this, but my experience with audits is that we would not have an audit that was worth anything done by November. The audit committee probably isn't going to be named in meeting and having a first meeting probably before September. And generally, the audits that we have done during the interims have been fairly extensive audits that have taken 6 months to a year and have been, you know, they vary because it depends on how many projects you're working on and how much you can devote to a particular project and how much the committee wants devoted. Mm-hmm. Whether they want staff to do that, whether they want it to be contracted, and of course the audit committee doesn't have money for contracts, so usually that's the case. It has to be appropriated. But I think that there has been some groundwork done on this. I know John has done some himself already. So he could address more how long he thinks this might take. But we would not be prepared as a staff, I don't think, to make a recommendation to the emergency board that presumes the outcome of the audit, that presumes that there is the, without having conducted the audit, that presumes there is the inequity.
That's what I mean, is to have the audit, but have it in time so that they can come to the e-board with a request that could be based upon the audit.
But they always have that option. They always have the option.
But it won't be as effective without the audit.
Well,
perhaps.
Maybe I could ask Peggy what other kind of middle ground there would be, because the basic point here is that if by not addressing this issue at least in some partial way, it's going to cost us a bit more, that perhaps that's what we ought to ask the department to bring back to the e-board, because it's actually the department that would have to pay if this action isn't taken. And what kind of, I'm just asking what kind of substantiation would be appropriate or suitable.
Madam Chair and Representative Ross, I think that one of the things that would be found out or would be looked at in the audit would be are the activities that are carried on at the AAAs comparable to what the activities would be if the state assumed these? Are they doing things that the state doesn't do? These are questions that would have to be asked. We don't know whether if it came back to the state that it would automatically cost more for the state to do it, because we don't know that the state would be doing the same things, and that's what the audit would show. So I think those are things that the department always has the option, if the audit were to show early on that there was a discrepancy that was critical and was going to put the state in jeopardy of costing more money, they always have the option of coming to the emergency board after that
mm-hmm.
we're done. That they're not precluded from doing that.
There's considerable feeling around some of the other areas of the state that had to make similar choices back in those days when they chose whether they would take a B or an A or whatever the case might be. And basically whatever happened to those other areas, they had to live by what they've gotten from their position. And there's some fairly strong feeling that there hasn't been real close monitoring of the programs and so forth in some of these other areas, and they've more or less just relied on the fact that, well, we'll run it until we run into a problem and throw it back at the state. I think there's every reason to have a good audit before they get extra money.
I thoroughly agree, and that's what I am certainly recommending, but that we do it soon enough to be able to give good information to the board.
Essentially, I would say exactly the same thing that Representative Loken was saying.
Mm-hmm.
The
reason that I think that this could be accelerated is that already we have a situation where DAS has agreed pretty much to what the inequity was, and others have already begun study of this, where it's not that there's a disagreement, and there's a whole lot of information. A lot was shared last year at the November e-board as part of the record. They wouldn't have given $3 million then if they hadn't been pretty convinced that the inequity occurred, had already. So we've got a history already. So it's not like you might be starting from ground zero. You've already had some background done for you in this study. And so I guess I'm thinking that you really could move this one faster than some of them. I certainly want it to be complete. And as you just said, you can't presuppose the outcome, but I think the programs have been fairly well analyzed. And just all I'm asking, like Representative Bolton, is we try to do it first thing.
I wanted to ask Peggy what a realistic timeline would be, because I understand what you're saying about, they have their point in that start, and they have to identify their priorities, and I'm just trying to figure out, is there another way that we could help to accelerate out undermining the quality of this stuff in the report, because since there are these differences of opinion, I think it's very important we get good, credible information so that we're not just acting on emotion.
Madam Chair and Representative Ross, obviously that depends on the work schedule of the audit committee. We certainly, as staff persons, listen to what the subcommittee is saying and can, when we make our recommendations to the audit committee, which we also staff, that this was an extreme interest and that timeliness was of great concern to the subcommittee. And then John may have a few comments on what, since this is his area of analysis, what he thinks a reasonable time frame might be.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Ms. Archer is putting me on the spot. I don't have a realistic time frame for how long this takes. I think that, as Peggy indicated, it depends on the schedule that the JLAC wants to pursue. When I'm given assignment, if this was mine, I would proceed as expediently as I could, but I don't know what timeline that would be right at this moment.
I think that.
Okay,
I guess from the point of view of really thinking how it would work out on the other side, how it would work out on the ground, is that if these AAAs felt that there was going to be an objective and credible report that it's actually based on, that they probably would raise for the first year if they felt that they might get funding in the second year. If they think that it's not going to happen, then I think these local entities will, in fact, exercise the option to turn the program back without the study. And so I think that's where we are with the actual, because from their point of view, they have data. Now, I recognize that it is from their point of view, and that's why I was saying, that's the question. Is there something that this committee can do to be supportive of trying to get that information during the first year so that they could look forward to a resolution in the second year?
Madam Chair, I think without doing damage to the budget note in a way that it would be, harmful to approval by the co-chairs, that you could probably change the last sentence to encourage the committee to complete the report as while being a thorough report, to complete it as soon as possible. We can have some precise wording, or we can just say that.
I think we need some information as far as the time that they've got before they can actually run out of money, whether we have to consider this as the state to come back or not.
This is a work
I know.
And
Mary, what were you ready to jump up and help us out here?
Steps can cost me that
too. Oh.
But I don't pay attention as often as I But I'm sure the struggle is how long is this going to take, obviously, and capacity for the legislative audit committee to get organized and decide are they going to give us top priority, because they're going to have a lot of demand, and when is it going to happen? So, and I think what you want is an independent view. You don't want us to do it, you don't want us to try to do it. So another option, and I'm sure there are many, but another option would be to say that we contract somebody in the private sector to go out and do study of this. And there are firms that we've worked with that could do this, and they do it in probably 3, 4, 5 days or so. And we ask, if this is this important for AAA, we ask the AAA to help support that kind of research and be able to bring that in a much shorter time maybe than the audit committee. I'm not being critical of the audit committee, but maybe in a much shorter time than the audit committee could be an independent, outside view of this situation that would be largely funded by the AAA itself.
Well,
but we would pick, the department would pick the surveyor and so on. Or we could do a joint, you know, we could have the legislative fiscal office and the executive office branch with the EAF people down and jointly pick an outside. So I'm just offering this as another alternative to use the private sector in a much quicker way and have the AAA contribute to the cause.
And you know, I understand what you're saying and how you're trying to help expedite this. My reservation, I guess, or I don't know that it's a reservation, but that there are going to be costs involved in it. That's what I'm concerned about, the cost that would be involved by contracting out.
Mm-hmm.
And JLAC can also contract out, but of course it has to have the funds to do that as well.
What I'm suggesting is you might save JLAC some money in this process.
And somehow absorb the cost of the study, is that what you're saying?
Right. And get it done quicker and by somebody who's objective and not part of the system.
You don't have any idea what
AAA can do? No, I'm suggesting this. And I believe if we were to go to the AAA and say to them, if this study is important, we should do loan to finance, and I think they would. And I don't believe the cost of the to look at this is going to be that's kind of acceptable.
What do you think it might be?
I think you could get this research done for $3,000 to $5,000, something like that. And I say that, Madam Chair, Senator Shields, because of what you've already pointed out, we have a lot of information about the AAA. We've gathered for many years about what the cost is, and I think has been pointed out by your staff is the most critical thing to look at is, are the AAA doing business that we wouldn't do if we were administering as a state agency? I think that's a very important question to ask, and I don't think anybody's going to look at that. We've looked at the difference in salaries and the difference in cost of operations and all like that. We have not examined the differences in the workplace.
Right. Services offered, and so forth. And I hate to bring it up, but there was that issue of error rate as well.
Right.
And, I mean, there are other issues that really need to be examined about mm-hmm. why there is that rate and so forth. So, you know, it's a spectrum of issues that it requires, I think, is calling for a study or an audit of some kind. And, I don't know. Maybe they have a with the budget mode as it is there a way that this could also, what Gary is actually suggesting, be done even with this?
Madam Chair, I don't think that the budget note precludes that being done because the audits that are conducted by the audit committee vary greatly. They almost always have agency participation in the collection of data and in helping to not necessarily analyze, but helping to helping out. DAS always helps us out on our audits. The audit division in the Secretary of State always works with us on the audit.
Mm.
So the legislation creating the audit division directs that agency personnel and the audit division and DAS will assist. So I don't know that in setting up, when this is brought before the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, all of these options for how to conduct the study can be raised.
Could the
first?
I think the language that bothers me here, though, is that we're saying this should be done prior to the 2001 legislative session. It leaves a span of time, and if we're going to have this audit, I think that maybe we could have some language that would call for
an earlier date.
Earlier date, an earlier attention to that, because I think it is important to find out what we're talking about, whether it's less expensive as it is, what are we doing that is more, what are the differences between the state service and the county service?
If we just add in that on the recommendations as soon as possible prior to the 2001 legislative session, that's a bigger, little bit of a push.
Well, mentioned.
I would think that with this offer and with this assistance in securing additional funding and structuring the thing, that it wouldn't be unreasonable to say that the subcommittee suggests, and we're not mandating, we're just suggesting the subcommittee suggests that JLAC issue its report and recommendations prior to January 2000. And
I actually agree that too. It's only one, a couple of months later than the November date, and they got Christmas and everything.
Madam Chair and subcommittee members, this is, as Representative Locke said, this is a suggestion to the committee, and you certainly could suggest to the committee that they issue the report, say, by June if you
And then it's their call. It's not as if this budget knows it's going to mandate.
Madam Chair?
Yes, for Senator Fisher.
We're only dealing with a 6 month span of time difference. As soon as possible, Senator George suggests things to me like a reasonable thing. And besides that, to hurry this thing too fast, if some of the information that DAS has gotten is no better than some of the ones that they've had in audits in the past, I'm not sure that we want to hang too much of a hat on that either. And so I'd like to see this done properly.
Well, as soon as possible, that'd be better.
Yeah.
So the subcommittee suggests issuance of the report as soon as possible prior to the
and recommendation.
And recommendation.
The subcommittee suggests that the JLAC issue its report and recommendations as soon as possible prior to the 2001 legislative session.
We're kind of talking here, but all right. What now? Can do I understand that the AAAs and counties can come back to the E board then if within 6 months their contracts are looking that they don't have the money to continue? Can they do that then?
Madam Chair and Representative Logan, the AAAs themselves and the counties themselves cannot come to the E board. It would be the department.
Well, I mean, sure. I mean,
they have the option to request of the E board to the extent that they can get their request to the Department of Administrative Services, but they have the option to make a request anytime there is an E board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So they. If there were to perceive to be a crisis, I'm sure the department would come to the emergency board and report on that crisis. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine them not doing that.
So the option is coming forward. Do I have a nod there?
Madam Chair, you and a terrific crisis will be on your doorstep.
I do not see how the communication of a crisis will get to you before these programs come back in November. I mean, we have been talking about a mounting crisis that was recognized in the last e-board. I still prefer the suggestion you made of $3,000-$5,000 whatever independent study done quickly so we can get it done before November. I don't see why that can't be done.
Madam Chair, if in the discretion of the director of the Department of Human Resources has, although you approve a budget, you don't approve every single services and supply line item in it. I don't know whether you would want to direct him not to, but if the director felt that he could get a credible study for $3,000 and wanted to come back and lay that before the emergency board, he could do so. It would be analyzed. And it wouldn't necessarily stop the Joint Legislative Audit Committee from conducting their study if the committee wanted to have this budget notice. If the director felt that he could jumpstart such a study with some credible independent review that he wanted to pay for or could get somebody else to pay for, there's nothing to keep him from doing that. I presume that he would spend a large chunk of money that people wouldn't want that to happen, but if he felt that he could contribute up front to the ultimate success of a study that was concluded, going to be done, there wouldn't be anything to keep him from doing that.
Madam Chair, I have sat on the Legislative Audit Committee, and I haven't seen any of their audits cost $3,000. You know, if that were possible, it'd be wonderful. And but I think that we do need to provide this review or audit just as quickly as possible.
And I
feel better if it was due to.
Yeah. Okay. And I feel like we have amended it in a way. And it sounds like we have cooperation from the department. And so what I would move then is this budget note for the FDFC regarding the Legislative Audit Committee and the AAA amending it to say in the last sentence the subcommittee suggested here like issue its reporting recommendations as soon as possible prior to the 2001 legislative session. Further discussion? Any further discussion? Objection?
I have to say, I still don't think it's soon enough.
As soon as possible, is it soon enough?
Because you're saying prior to the 2001 session.
Well,
that allows them to postpone possibly 18 months, and you have programs coming back in November of 99.
Well, Senator Shields, if we have programs coming back in November of 99, I guess there will be a crisis, and the Department of Human Resources will act. That we have just had a very long discussion here about this budget note, and it's going to be in the narrative. I think it's on the record. Hearing objections. Hearing and seeing none. In the director's office.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the director's office has a single budget note. It directs the DHR to report to the first Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management and Technology on the progress of the year 2000 remediation project. As if you recall, the mainframe, the remediation of the mainframe was $14 million, and the non-mainframe is what is called the other Y2K is about $1.8 million. And we suggested that they come and report on the progress of the project, the progress, how it compares to the completion schedule, the expenditures to date and the projected expenditures for completion, and then comes with a final report.
Questions or discussion on that budget note? Is there any objection? Hearing and seeing none.
We can need a form. I'll do that for that again.
Have a chair in one time. If you'd like, I can explain this, the last one, which is the a pretty mundane report that I mentioned yesterday. That is the department being asked to return to the Joint Legislative Committee on Information Management Technology on the status of the Phase 1 project of the replacement of the Medicaid Management Information System, and that the department be directed in the carrying out of Phase 1, that it assure that users, ultimate users of the system, are actively participating in the planning process, and that in the Phase 1, there is an independent quality assurance review prior to the submission of the Phase 2 request to the next legislative session. That's what.
Okay. Let's go back now for a second then to the director's office. Have you had a chance to read that budget note?
Yes.
Is there any objection that it was moved that we accept the budget note to the director's office? And we asked for discussion, there was none, and I'm asking, is there any objection?
Can we vote that the Senate has already approved it? It was just a House
I'm on board.
Okay, that motion passes. And Ms. Archer just explained to us the MMIS project and that budget note. Are there any questions or discussion regarding all that budget note? Okay. Hearing you. Are there any objections?
On this MMIS, I think it's a good idea that quarterly reporting is in, you know, putting in all these, we've run into these new computer systems going in and then getting some real big financial strikes. So I think that that's something we're going to be very aware of.
Right. And I think people are finding that they pretty carefully swap and carry down.
Okay.
Any objections to that? Hearing and seeing none, that's a motion. Now, I do want to mention something else that I have been made aware of, and some other members may have been made aware of, a new program called the Irvington Covenant Community Development Corporation. It is a corporation in North Portland that is working, is trying to come together to create a program to address the needs of first-time youth and adult offenders, at-risk youth, welfare recipients, and what they're coming together to do is to build modular homes in that area because there is a housing need, low-income housing need, as well as the training that is needed, and they have this development corporation that will have mentors that will volunteer to work with these first-time offenders and be training them to put these modular homes up in this area. I would just like to direct the Department of Human Resources and Adult Family Services to be open to looking at this project as something that they use as a provider for job and skill training in the very near future, if that's, or certainly during this biennium. And I just wanted to put that on the record here so that this program is a very worthy program, and those of us who have heard about it, it sounds like a very good way to solve some problems, and we can leverage it with a lot of volunteers that are in the community. So I just wanted to have that on the record. Senator
George.
Chair, I had the same reaction, and you know, we've seen reports on national television about programs similar to that that are still effective, and whether they're faith-based or not, the idea of involving the community and recognizing that you're going to have to help the people to get the training, to make the steps, you know, baby steps and then giant steps to become self-sufficient. That was really exciting to me.
Right. And I had an opportunity to talk with this lady, and the first time I'd heard of it, and I really felt that it had merit. They had been very systematic in their approach to this and laying out the program, and it didn't look like something that would be a fly-by-night situation where they'd be investing some money in here today and going tomorrow.
Right.
I think so.
They seem
great backing in the community and in the metro area.
Right. So I was very encouraged by that, too.
Madam Chair.
Senator Shields.
Just quickly, I want to just say that I've known Pastor Henry Greenwich for many, many years. He's the pastor of the church that's been so instrumental in getting this set up in the Albina area of Portland. And as Senator George was talking, it occurred to me that we've already done some work with the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 25, which has passed both the House and Senate, that talks about faith-based organizations and DHR partnerships.
Yes.
And that generally might come under that heading as they continue to develop partnerships and look forward and hope that we could be in some more conversation about that.
Is this a program that can be included under Governor's Juvenile Crime Prevention Plan? I mean, we're talking about training youth.
Right. Okay. And I certainly hope that a portion of this can come under that, which would be in Senate Bill 555.
Mm-hmm.
I would also like to see that. This is a different portion where we could do some of the at-risk youth as well for training.
Well, does the department give out grants to help community projects? Is this what the chair is referring to?
I think they have providers of services like this training, and so they could contract with this group to provide training for these individuals that come in. If it were adult family services, they would probably have to be TANF eligible individuals.
Mm-hmm. So this is something, an information the director can give out to their providers. Is this what you're saying? Give the information out to providers?
No.
That there's a training program available?
No. Mm-hmm. No, what I'm saying is that the Irvington Covenant Community Development Corporation could be a provider for the Department of Human Resources of these services. Training,
at-risk
job placement, at-risk youth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's services for children division that would be able to make use of these services.
Go ahead.
As the chair described, we contract with providers to do job training, and this would be a job training contract with organizations to enable NFL-able young people and young people at risk to engage in learning skills and instruction. And the result would be they can construct homes that would later be available as low-cost housing families. And so it would be a simple contract between AFS and the department and this organization to provide those kind of training services, which leads to homes that will be sold as low-cost homes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
Gary.
That was very good.
I don't want to prolong it, but Gary, you know, on the other end of my district, I have a Job Corps center, and it's pretty exciting to see kids that were in real bad shape as far as where they were headed. And then to find out that they can come to a place like a Job Corps Center and they can learn these talents and trades. And then not only that, when they successfully complete that program and have accomplished some very constructive things, literally, to be able to look forward to $15 per hour jobs just almost instantly right out of there. In fact, there's almost a guarantee for upon completion that they'll have them. And you see the opportunities, particularly here where we need the housing, and for somebody to get into constructive, high-paying trade jobs, oh, it's really should
I have another question.
So this is strictly for Medicaid eligible youth.
It's unrelated to Medicaid. I mean, they probably are Medicaid eligible. It'd be for low-income youth that would be eligible under a welfare guideline who are at risk. That would be the target population.
Right. Probation.
Right.
Correct. They might have been committed sometimes, certainly not egregious crimes, but they're children, they're at risk of having other crimes or having difficulty in their families and so on, and this is not going to teach them a skill that results in the construction of some homes that would be available for lower income families.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say, I somehow feel this program fits better with the juvenile prevention program under Senate Bill 555, but I can also see it might fit with some of the low-income.
I think what we would do is try to work with juvenile crime prevention folks. I mean, if there's resources there, we'd want to draw on them. So we found the OIA and others to see if there's some kind of joint program.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Weeks.
Tomorrow?
Wait a minute. We still need to move this budget for the whole committee. The chair would move House Bill 5029 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion?
Complete the budget notes.
Yes, with all the budget notes, with all the action we have taken throughout the last 6 months and today. Is there objection? Yes. Senator Brock and Senator Shields. Yeah.
Why are you not surprised?
Well, I'm surprised because you guys did so much talking. The motions have. Okay, tomorrow we will reconvene at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to be doing bills, and when I get the list of the bills we'll be doing, you'll know.
when we get here, we'll know.
You'll know when you get here. Hang on. So, we are here.
One.
Oh, here.